Both of our readings this morning are taken from the Old Testament, the first one being Psalm 100, followed by Isaiah 40. They are referenced in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Here begins Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
When David approached me to share the message today, he also gave me the freedom to choose the anthems and hymns that have a special place in my songbook. Our next hymn is the insert that's in your bulletin. It is Well With My Soul. Speaks to wellness that comes from faith in Christ. It comes from God's gift. But before we sing this uplifting melody, let me share the story of its author. Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer and a devout Christian in the Chicago community over a century ago. Spafford invested heavily in real estate along Lake Michigan shoreline, but his fortune was lost in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. Around the same time, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a vacation would do his family some good, Horatio planned a trip to England for his wife and four daughters, but at the last moment, pressing business kept him in Chicago. While crossing the Atlantic, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and sunk. More than 200 lost their lives, including all four of Horatio's precious daughters. His wife, Anna, survived on arrival, and on arrival in England, sent a telegram to her husband, said, "Saved alone, what should I do?" Immediately, Horatio set sail for England, and at one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were passing over the spot where the shipwreck went down. As Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart. He wrote them down. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Perhaps we can't always say that everything is well in our lives. There will always be storms to face, and sometimes there will be tragedies. But with faith in a loving God and with trust in his divine help, we can confidently say, it is well with my soul. Are you ready for some football? All right. The college football season opened last night with a dozen or so games. As I was flipping through the channels, I couldn't help but feel the excitement building. 15 more games are scheduled for Thursday, including our local UConn Huskies against Holy Cross. And my Ohio State University, they're playing at Indiana on Thursday night. This Labor Day weekend features many marquee matchups, including number one Alabama and number three Florida State at the brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Vance. My wife Sally and I have been members of this church for over 20 years. I have sung in the choir throughout my years here at First Church, and two of my three children were baptized right here on these steps. Being passionate has always been part of my being. Music has always been an important part of my life, but you may not know that I've been an active, passionate participant in football for over 50 years. I played youth football in New Britain, played high school ball at Northfield Mount Hermon School in Massachusetts, then went to Heidelberg University in Ohio, where in 1972, I played on the national championship team in Division III. In my third year, I left the team to become the only male cheerleader. And as a senior, I played the sousaphone in the Student Prince's marching band, which was part of my music education curriculum. After returning to Connecticut and starting my career in the family business, the football itch led me to become a football official, first in the youth leagues, then in high school, then college. And over the next 30 years, the players got younger. As I got slower, the players got bigger, stronger, and faster. As a 20-year-old tight end at Heidelberg, I was listed in the program as 6'5" and 195 pounds, though I'm sure I was 20 pounds lighter than that. By comparison, Marcus Baugh, this year's starting tight end at the Unite Ohio State University, is listed at 6'5" and 258 pounds. I'm an inch shorter now, and my body mass has increased and shifted somewhat. But in my mind, I'm ready to go in there. As Kate and David mentioned, football is a team sport. And working with teams is good character building. And with football, there's 11 players on offense and 11 on defense. And a successful team works together by practicing their goals to score points or fighting through blocks to prevent their opponent from scoring. From my perspective, the officials are the third team on the field. Their job is to make sure that the game is played fairly within the framework and the spirit of the rules. Just like the players, officials work as a team. In college ball, I work with 7 officials. Each official has assignments before, during, and after the game. When the ball is snapped, 22 players start going at it. The officials are focusing on key offensive players. The 3 deep officials are watching the wide receivers and the tight end. The 2 officials on the line of scrimmage are watching the other receivers and the backs coming out of the backfield. The umpire, in harm's way near the linebacker, focuses on the interior alignment and their blocking. The referee, which is what I was, stands behind it all and initially focuses on the tackle, then watches the area around the quarterback, make sure that he's not marked. As the play develops, the officials move their focus to the point of attack, observing the action around the ball carrier or the action by defenders against potential pass receivers. After 32 years, I retired from on-field football officiating after the 2013 season. For the past 3 seasons, I was a mentor to the 26 crew chiefs assigned to games in 5 conferences throughout the Northeast. I attended games weekly and reviewed game film, grading performance and giving feedback to the officials on their positioning and calls. Next Saturday, I'm excited to begin a new role as an instant replay official in the Northeast Conference, a conference which includes Central Connecticut here in town, Sacred Heart down in Fairfield, and Bryant out in Rhode Island. Earlier, I mentioned that music has always been a part of my life. I grew up in New Britain with my parents, Archie and Norma Harris, who are sitting back here. I was the oldest of six children, and some of my earliest memories was listening to Dad playing an old upright piano for guests at parties that he hosted with Mom. He knows all the old tunes, and he plays them by ear. We were raised in the Catholic Church during a time of great change. In 1962, Pope John XXIII convened Vatican II and concluded under Pope Paul in late 1965. Vatican II brought major changes to the Roman Catholic Church. Most obvious were changes in the Mass, which up to that point had been said in Latin, with the priest facing away from the congregation. After Vatican Council, the Mass changed drastically. It was now spoken in the language of the people, and participation was encouraged in new ways, with new possibilities granted for music and singing, and the inclusion of women as readers, lectors, and Eucharistic ministers. At that time, I was attending St. Morris Junior High School. My sister, who's here today too. And Sister Eleanor Marie was a gifted, musically gifted nun on the faculty. With her influence and the help of my grandma Madeline Vance, who volunteered at the church rectory, we convinced the pastor, Monsignor Murphy, to have me lead the parishioners in the new songs and hymns being introduced in the Reformed Mass. And there it began, my study and performance of music at the age of 12. Over the next 10 years, Mom and Dad gave me opportunities to study music and perform in high school and collegiate choral groups traveling throughout the United States and Europe. I studied music education at Heidelberg with a voice emphasis, but like many young adults in college, I struggled with the uncertainty of what I wanted to do when I grew up. Unfortunately, it wasn't until my last semester in college, during my student teaching experience, that I realized that I didn't want to be a teacher. I was disappointed, and I know that Mom and Dad were disappointed too. I felt I had let them down. They supported my decision as I spent the next year trying to find myself in Ohio. After a year of wandering, I returned to New Britain and joined Dad and my uncles in the family business. That Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My grandpa Art Harris had started the business in 1916 as a trucking company. He later added deliveries of materials to many New Deal construction projects, including in the 30s, including the Wilbur Cross and the Merritt Parkways. Dad was the youngest of Art and Elizabeth's four sons. Each son joined their father in the business and continued his legacy at A.H. Harris and Sons Incorporated when he passed in 1964. My first paying job at Harris was in 1970 as a 16-year-old high school sophomore tasked with clearing out equipment at the recently purchased plant in New Britain that would serve as Harris's headquarters for the next 30 years. Later, I had a variety of hot and dirty summer jobs through high school and college, where I learned the value of hard work. So after my return from Ohio, I started at Harris, and over the next dozen years, had a half dozen jobs, still searching for what I wanted to do when I grew up. I spent time in the sales desk. I made field sales to dealers and municipalities throughout Connecticut and Massachusetts. I was an advertising manager for a couple of years. And I traveled the country and Mexico in one of Harris's first ventures into international sourcing and national distribution. In 1988, I had the opportunity to manage a remote regional sales office in Western New York. Sally and I were recently married. We built a home and started our family in the suburb of Buffalo, just as the Bills began their historic 4 AFC championship run. I was in heaven. But I found my calling. I managed a business. I learned the value of planning and strategy. I established revenue goals and managed a budget. I learned that people are inherently good, but just need motivation and for someone to say, thank you. Over the next 4 years, we learned a lot, had some success, but soon the economy crashed and we downsized the business. Sally and I returned to Glastonbury and returned to Connecticut and settled here in Glastonbury in 1992. Dad and my uncle sold the business, the family business, a year later, but I stayed on with the new owner and later became his human resources manager. At the time, there were about 150 employees in about 15 offices. And over the next 20 years, we bought and sold companies, opened and closed branches, expanded and contracted employment as market conditions warranted. Today, the three companies at AH Harris have over 750 employees in 55 locations from Maine to North Carolina. A key responsibility in my role was to provide for the health and well-being of our employees by providing a safe workplace and offering affordable benefits. From our roots as a family business, I was proud to carry the legacy of providing affordable health care to our employees and their families long before it became a political flashpoint. After 40 years in the business, I recently retired, knowing that that legacy would continue. He is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I sketched my life story as a basis of my message this morning. Family, faith, and football. As mentioned, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, which is not a bad thing. It taught me the love of God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that those who are blessed confess their wrongdoings and forgive others. Society has changed a lot in my lifetime. Opportunities for women and minorities have opened like at no other time in history. We walked on the moon. Technological advancements and the internet brought instant information from around the world. Instant news and information is not always accurate. So how do we cut through the noise? Well, family and faith certainly help. I was fortunate to be part of a big family growing up. Thankfully, we're all doing well today with several in attendance. Mom and Dad lost their parents many years ago and are the last of their generation with the passing of their brothers. Mom and Dad live in the same house we grew up in and is still where we frequently gathered for birthdays and holidays. Sickness and death challenges family and faith. And it is that same family and faith that gets you through the rough times. Sally and I had our challenges overcoming mental illness and substance abuse in our family. One of the hardest decisions we had to make was to send our 12-year-old son away for 9 months to a special facility for troubled kids. We had spent the previous 3 years dealing with Walter's disruptive behavior at school, including complaints from other parents. Unfortunately, there's no blood test or scanner that could tell us what was wrong. Doctors were treating him with medication, but nothing seemed to be working. With the help of the town of Glastonbury and the state of Connecticut, we enrolled him in 2 special schools before sending him away to the Children's Center in Hamden. We got to visit him twice a week. After 9 months of intensive training, Walter was off medication, enrolled in Smith Middle School, and graduated with his class at Glastonbury High. We're so proud of Walter as he sits here with a new child and a great job at a construction company. Faith and family is a powerful combination. There will always be times in our lives that will test us, that present doubt in your faith, and sometimes your family. But it is faith in God, faith in your family, and most importantly, faith in yourself that will get you through. Personally, the greatest challenge of my family and my faith occurred over 35 years ago. I had married a classmate in late 1976, the year I finished college. Christine was in the music education program at Heidelberg, as well as an outstanding athlete. She was on the basketball team. Chris taught high school music the year after we finished college. Then after we moved to Connecticut, she taught in what is now Ram Middle School in Hebron. Chris was an outstanding pianist and accompanist, and was also very proficient in oboe, performing with local orchestras and concerts throughout the Hartford area. Chris stopped teaching when our daughter Elizabeth was born in late 1980. And about a year later, she began having difficulties playing the piano. Her fingers just weren't working. Over the next several months, we visited local doctors and ran tests to find out what was wrong. Finally, on a trip to Boston, we learned that Chris had ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. Shaken to the core, we both questioned our faith. Why did this happen? What shall we do? That's where family came through. Mom and Dad stepped up to help with anything we needed, including watching Elizabeth while we sought answers and treatment. Mom and Dad found us a more suitable home in Berlin that we could modify to accommodate the increasing loss of motor skills. Chris and I at the time were both involved in barbershop and Sweet Adeline choruses, and the members of those organizations did all they could to help us. Physical therapy, occupational therapy, walkers in wheelchairs were the new norm. Soon it was live-in-aid, speech therapy, and processed foods. Elizabeth, then six and in first grade, needed some normalcy. So we decided that Chris and Elizabeth would go back to Ohio to live with Chris's family. She was also one of six children, all educators and athletes who helped nurture Elizabeth through her childhood years. Chris died several years later, but not before seeing Elizabeth grow to be a special woman that she is today. Elizabeth is an educator, has been teaching now for about 14 years down in New Jersey. Little middle school kids, God bless. She would be here today, but she's presently at Glacier National Park in Montana with my youngest daughter, Emily, who also has a special place in our hearts. Emily was a distance runner, ran with the Glastonbury cross country team, and in fact spent a couple years running with Kristen Mitchell, who was a member of this church, down at the University of Charlotte, University of North Carolina at Charlotte. Emily got her degree in therapy, and she's right now working in Salt Lake, out of Salt Lake City, as an occupational therapist for troubled kids in the wilderness, which is interesting because she will leave at at noon on a Tuesday and come back the following noon with nothing more than a 75-pound backpack on her shoulders. And she's helping kids that way. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Family, faith, football. Your family is your legacy. Treasure those who love and support you, and love and support them in return. Your faith is your soul. Let it live and breathe in the belief that God promises all who trust in him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace and courage in the struggle for justice and peace. And football? Well, it's passion. I said I was passionate. Find a passion in your life. For you, it could be art, music, literature, horseback riding, ultimate frisbee. Take something and make it yours to lift up and make a difference. For whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.